Welcome to a burning fire, Jeremiah 20 and verse 9. Your speaker is Jim Boyd. I want to read to you three passages of Scripture. The first, from 1 Corinthians chapter 1. For the preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness, but unto us which are saved it is the power of God. For after that in the wisdom of God the world by wisdom knew not God, it pleased God by the foolishness of preaching to save them that believe. In Mark 16, verses 15 and 16, And he said unto them, Go ye into all the world, and preach the gospel to every creature. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, and he that believeth not shall be damned. And then from Romans chapter 10, beginning with verse 13 through 17, For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. How then shall they call on him in whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in him of whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? And how shall they preach except they be sent? As it is written, How beautiful are the feet of them that preach the gospel of peace and bring glad tidings of good things. But they have not all obeyed the gospel. For Isaiah saith, Lord, who hath believed our report? So then faith cometh of hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Now it ought to be clear that all of us have a duty to spread the gospel to everyone. But it is the preacher who is the public proclaimer of the word. The work of a preacher is one that many of us who preach are hesitant to publicly discuss because we're so closely and personally connected with it. Some may assume you're promoting yourself and impugn your motives when you preach such a lesson as I am bringing to you just now. Some might accuse the preacher of drawing attention to himself and elevating himself and defending himself and other such things as that. And yet the work of a preacher is a Bible subject which many do not know and do not understand, and even some who preach don't look like they understand it. There are many good brethren who sincerely appreciate gospel preachers, but certainly not everyone in the world does, and not everyone even in the church. None can realize the nature and the seriousness of such work more than those who have given their lives to that work. You see, friend, being a preacher is not like other occupations where you punch a time clock or go to work or come home from work and there's time on and there's time off and office hours and daily schedules and such things as that. And this is said only to emphasize the difference in preaching from other occupations. Preaching is a way of life that dominates life, not only for the preacher but also his family, if such he has. The work is constantly with you in everything that you do or say, where you go, what you have. You're always a preacher, not just when you're in the pulpit. It is a work that, by its very nature, cannot be regulated and compared and described like other honorable work. And many have not appreciated this fact as they ought. Let us consider, first of all, what the preacher is not. He does not have authority by virtue of preaching to rule the church. He is to preach with authority, Titus 2 and verse 15, but the authority that he preaches is the authority of God. He does not make the decisions for the congregation, nor should he be expected to do so. Elderships must assume this task. He, like other members, labors under the oversight of the eldership. And while his advice and his counsel may often be sought because of his study and his knowledge and experience, he is not the authority over the church. He is not a substitute or displacement of the eldership, nor should anyone expect him to discharge the duties of the eldership, and he ought not attempt it himself. Neither is he to be a substitute for a working membership. And some evidently think so because they talk about the preacher taking up the work. Often this is exactly what happens, while others sit by and let him take up the work because he has been hired to work for us and we can just sit back. Why, this is a mistaken concept of a preacher. He is not hired to help. He is a brother in Christ, serving in a specific and unique capacity. When he visits, it's not the church visiting. He is not an errand boy for the congregation. It is not even his task as a preacher to organize and supervise and promote all the programs and plans of work for the church. He is not the congregation's public relations man. Some churches look to the preacher to be everything from the janitor to the chairman of the building committee, from selecting who is to serve at the Lord's table to ordering the literature. This is not his work, nor should it be imposed on him. Some must think because they have a preacher, they don't have anything to do. Little wonder that many preachers suffer from burnout. Preachers are often called to solve problems in people's lives. This is sometimes called counseling. Now, he's not a professional counselor, however. He is asked to help because of his knowledge of the Word, and he is usually glad to be of whatever help he can be. And it is a very frustrating role that he's called upon to play, however. Too often his advice is sought, but it is ignored. Then he becomes the target of criticism when things do not work out happily. It is not uncommon that his assistance is solicited, but it only brings him grief and false accusations and disappointments and criticism. Because many people do not want counseling, they do not want advice, they want somebody to side with them in every dispute and somebody to take their side and to agree with them. And when the preacher does not do this, he's considered incompetent. And as helpful as he might be along these lines, that's not his primary function. A preacher, hear me well, he is to preach the word. He is to bring glad tidings of salvation. This is his number one work. All else revolves around this. Every opportunity he has or can make, he will preach and teach. Congregation should encourage him to do this very thing and cooperate with him as he arranges opportunities to preach. He is obligated before God to speak sound doctrine, Titus 2, verse 1 and 8 and 15. He must preach the whole counsel of God, both positively and negatively, Acts 20, 27. He is to keep that which is committed to his trust, as Paul told Timothy in 1 Timothy 6 and verse 20. He is to teach that others may in turn teach others, 2 Timothy 1 and verse 13. In 2 Timothy 4, 1 through 5, Paul said, I charge thee before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall judge the quick and the dead at his appearing and his kingdom, preach the word. Be instant in season, out of season. Reprove, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and doctrine. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lusts shall heap to themselves teachers, having itching ears, and shall turn away their ears from the truth, and shall be turned unto fables. Dear friend, the preacher must guard his personal life and his personal habits, his financial affairs, and certainly his morals. He cannot be an effective preacher and live against what he preaches. He must maintain a steady study of the Word, the very Word he is to preach. And when he does the study and the research that is required, there must be prayer and meditation. It takes time. Far more than many realize to do this. It takes more time sometimes than others. Brethren should be patient and cooperative with him in this. Study and preach. Preach and study. This is the heart of his task. The preacher's mind is never released from it, nor should it be. Anything else he does, regardless of how demanding, must not be allowed to interfere with this. He cannot rely upon his oratorical ability or his personality or his humor or his secular wisdom and such like. He must know the Word and preach the Word and live the Word. And this is a consuming work, mentally and emotionally and spiritually, and it is very physically demanding. Unhappily, he often finds the truth he preaches is offensive to some who hear him. Now, this was true of Christ, wasn't it? This was true of his apostles. And while this is to be expected, Believe me, it is an unpleasant and disappointing experience. Yet he cannot swerve from his commitment to the truth in order to accommodate any hearer. Often the same sermon that offends one will convict another. At no time does he dare apologize for the truth, even though it may cost him his pulpit at a given place. He has to live before God. He must give an answer to God, whether anybody approves of what he teaches or not. The aim of every faithful gospel preacher is to please God, not men, as Paul wrote in Galatians 1 and verse 10. At no time does he allow a desire to please and to be accepted cause him to offend God. He is fortunate when he can please God and possibly a few men at the same time. And his preaching must be balanced. I mean by that, he must bring to light all truth and its applications. Failure to preach the positive and the negative side is negligence. Exposing error is as much a part of preaching as declaring the truth. No responsible preacher seeks to alienate anybody. He wants to win their hearts for Christ. He wants friends as much as the next person. But he is often criticized as if the truth he preaches, which some reject, had originated with him. Or some will praise him if they like what he says, but they'll tear him to pieces if they disapprove of another church truth that he declares. When we hear a preacher preach, you know the first question we ought to ask? This is the question that we ought to ask. Do you ask it? Is this the question you ask when you hear people preach? What is that question? Is it the truth? Preachers soon learn that most of his opposition will come from those who reject his gospel. Some will attack him personally because they do not want to admit they reject the truth that he preaches. It is also possible that he preaches in such a manner that he offends needlessly. This he can and should avoid, and he can correct it when it's mentioned to him. But truth causes disturbance at times and uneasiness among those who do not want to conform to it. Preachers are the last in the church who want to cause problems, because they're always the first to go when problems arise, regardless of the cause or the source of the problem. But he will not forsake his sacred task, regardless of personal consequences, for doing what a preacher must do. More often than not, he must discharge his duty, receiving bare minimum sustenance from the brethren, but he does his work anyway. Whoever preaches to you and for you, you better hope and you better pray that he will teach you the truth, regardless of the consequences to himself. Beware of that person who is looking out first of all for his own welfare. You better hope and pray that he has the courage to say what should be said and not just what tickles your ears. You better hope and pray that he will stand fast on the Word of God and by the Word and with the Word and proving his message from the Word. You better hope and pray he will never bow to the many pressures from within and without the church to alter, to compromise, to soften, or to otherwise tamper with God's truth to accommodate those who do not approve of it. While he must always try to improve his manner and his method, take heed of his attitude and increase his knowledge and his skills in doing his work more effectively. Friend, you better hope and pray that he will never bend or break beneath the discouragements and sacrifices that are imposed upon him, not only by those of the world, but as much by worldly-minded, digressive, and vindictive brethren, weak elderships, and a vocal but antagonistic liberal and human legalistic minority. Whenever you reach the point that you only want to hear what soothes and praises you, compare yourself with the words that are quoted from 2 Timothy 4, 3, and 4 about those who will no longer endure sound doctrine. Now everybody knows, and the preacher is more aware of it than anybody else, that everyone will not approve of the preacher. He is just another human being, and he has his personal peculiar characteristics like everybody else. Regardless of how fluent and scholarly or effective, how kind or how forceful he might be, there will be other qualities that he may lack that some would prefer that he have. he will not be perfect. Sensible preachers do not even try to please everybody because he knows he cannot. He wisely serves to please God, hoping others will serve to please God also. That is all faithful gospel preacher seeks from anyone. He is gratified when his efforts are appreciated by faithful brethren. We all do well to remember that God had but one son, and he was a preacher. Preachers do not seek your praises, but your salvation. They do not ask for your possessions, only a fair support, as they strive to lead you to live for the Lord. They seek not anything more than your life for Christ. There is no more noble and needed work on the earth than preaching the gospel, and I don't say that because I try to preach. I try to preach because I believe that is true. Preachers have faults. We have shortcomings. If he does not realize it, he'll soon be reminded of him, and everybody will tell him about it. But we need to concentrate not so much on the man as on the message of God the man preaches. Consider it. Measure it by the word. Investigate it. Believe it when proven true, and obey it, and live by it every day. And also help the faithful preacher defend it. Probably never has there been a time when gospel preachers need the cooperation and encouragement and support as now. The onslaught of error runs rampant in and out of the church. Digression, liberalism, modernism, worldliness, indifference, rebellion, immorality, all kinds of isms leading people astray, all of those hold sway. Only the gospel can turn the tide and save the soul. It is the task of the preacher to preach it. Pray for him as he labors, because he knows before the world is right side up, it must be turned upside down. And usually he's trying very hard to fill his role. Know his work and help him do it. This has been A Burning Fire. Your speaker is Jim Boyd. Until next time.